Bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, help us to remember always that you have called us. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my mind be acceptable before you and your people. In Christ's name. Amen. I came across this little story that it's a joke, I guess, but it also does a couple of things. It talks about making choices, and it talks about the preconceived notions that we have about heaven and hell. So I want to just give you this as succinctly as I can to start off. This successful executive lady was tragically hit by a vehicle and she died. Her soul arrived in heaven where she was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter himself. We've got all kinds of problems already with that statement. We'll carry on. Peter says, welcome to heaven. Before he gets settled, we have a problem. You see, we've never had an executive of your level make it to heaven this, or at least this far, so we really want to make sure we want to do what's the right thing to do with you. And she says, well, no problem. Just let me in, of course. Well, we'd like to do that, but we have orders, and what we're going to do is let you spend a day in hell and another day in heaven, and you can choose whichever one you want to spend eternity in. Actually, as she says, as I think about it, I think I'd like to be in heaven. And, well, sorry, we've got rules, says Peter, and he gets her into an elevator, and they go down to hell. And again, more problems with that, but anyway. The door's open, she finds herself stepping out into a putting green on a beautiful golf course in the distance of the country club. Standing in front of her were all her friends, fellow business executives, and that she'd worked with over the years. They're all dressed in evening gowns and tuxedos, and they were cheering for her. And they ran up, they kissed her on both cheeks, and they talked about all the good times they had. And they played an excellent round of golf, and that night went to the country club where she had steak and lobster and all the stuff she loved to eat. And she met the devil, who was actually really kind of nice and, in her opinion, kind of cute, I guess. Again, more problems around that, but let's carry on. And she said she had a great time telling jokes and having dancing and just a wonderful time. She had such a good time that before she knew it, time to leave. Everybody shook hands, they waved goodbye, and she got back on the elevator. Up, 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 up it went to the pearly gates in heaven. More problems, but we'll carry on. And let's spend a day in heaven. So she spent the next 24 hours lounging around on clouds, playing harps and singing. And you know I've gone on about that in the past, but that's what they did. She had a great time before she knew it. Her day was done, and Peter came and got her. So, you spent a day in hell, you spent a day in heaven, now you must choose eternity. Where are you going to be? The woman paused for a second. She replied, well, I never thought I'd say this, but heaven's been great, but it's kind of boring. I'd rather go, I guess, to hell. So Peter escorted her to the elevator, and again, down, down, down they went. Doors of the elevator opened, she found herself standing in a desolate wasteland covered in garbage and filth. All the friends that she saw were now dressed in rags and picking up garbage and putting it in sacks. And the devil came up to her and put his arm around her. I don't understand, said the woman. Yesterday I was here and it was a golf course and a country club. We had lobster, we danced, it was a great time. Now it's a wasteland of garbage and all my friends look miserable. And the devil looked at her and smiled and said, yesterday we were recruiting you, today you're on staff. Choices. We all make choices. Some of them are very misinformed, as we see in that particular story. Other ones maybe are much more informed. Some of the parables that Jesus told when he was standing in the temple just prior to this particular story we read today, he told three parables, and one of them was about guests being invited to a wedding. The last four verses of that particular story. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. He wasn't dressed appropriately. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. The king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is quite an interesting kind of twist that it takes to this wedding feast story. We often take a look at that, and that's where some of these misconceptions about heaven and hell maybe have come about, where people have extended that out to, well, that's maybe what hell must be like, being bound in a terrible place. Maybe it's also been interpreted about making sure you wear the right things to church on a Sunday morning, whether that's dressing up in suits and ties and ladies wearing hats and all the time that's gone by over time and how that's shifted. Today's story happens, as I said, after Jesus has been telling all this stuff, and particularly about being called and chosen by God. He's referencing this constantly in his parables. Religious leaders have listened to these stories, and they're clearly a bit upset. So upset that they try to trap him, make him look bad in front of everybody, and maybe give them cause to call the authorities to have him arrested. But they started out with nice, fine words. We know you're a great man of God. We know you say lovely things. But we got a question for you. They start out by praising him and then try to entrap him. You know, I want to read something from James chapter 2. My dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-originated faith. If a man enters your church wearing an expensive suit, and a street person wearing rags comes in right after him, and you say to the man in the suit, "Sit here, sir, this is the best seat in the house," and either ignore the street person or say, "You better sit here in the back row," haven't you segregated God's children and proved that you are judges who can't be trusted? Listen, dear friends, isn't it clear by now that God operates quite differently? He chose the world's down and out as the kingdom's first citizens with full rights and privileges. This kingdom is promised to anyone who loves God. And here you are abusing these same citizens. Isn't it the high and mighty who exploit you and who use the courts to rob you blind? Aren't they the ones who scorn the new name Christian used in your baptisms? You do well when you complete the royal rule of the scriptures. Love others as you love yourself. But if you play up to these so-called important people, you go against the rule and stand convicted by it. You can't pick and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. Jesus has all this, because this is older teaching, remember. James is capsulizing something, a very truth, love others as you love yourself. Jesus has all of this in his mind when the Pharisees come and try to trick him. When the Pharisees try to make it seem like you're not the Son of God, God has not chosen you for a special purpose. All of this came to my mind, and particularly when I read the scripture in Thessalonians about being called. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read this morning, "For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, he has chosen you. Because our message of the gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake." I get thinking about that in particularly after we had our lovely event last Sunday evening. Many of you were here at that event, the dinner that we had to celebrate our 10th anniversary, and we listened as Bob read out for us a number of things that have happened over the last 10 years. And read some numbers out, you know, financial reports and membership numbers and different things that we've been involved as a congregation. It got me thinking in particular about what it said in Thessalonians, what it says in Isaiah, and we're reminded of in the Psalms, but in particular those two places. God has chosen you. You're here today because God chose you. We're reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love upon you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Now clearly he's talking to the Israelites in Deuteronomy as they're wandering through the desert. But we've been grafted into that family of God. That message is equally to all of you, all of us gathered this morning. We're reminded in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Every person that's sitting here today, every person who has attached themselves to this congregation through membership or adherence, as we call it in the Presbyterian world, who's coming to this church on a regular basis and supporting the ministry that's coming out of this congregation, every one of you this morning has been chosen by God to be here for a reason. I'm pausing for a purpose. Every person here has been chosen by God for a reason, and you're here today in response to that. And that's the second half of that. God has chosen all of us to sit and stand here this morning. But we've responded to that. We've responded to that call that God has put on our hearts. And as we reflected last Sunday evening and talked about the two congregations that 10 years ago came together to form one congregation, that's an event that took place in 2007 and the years before that, leading up to that. But we've grown since then. We've changed since then. When I first came to this congregation 6 years ago, I was told that, you're about, half and maybe a little less than half of each of this, and then there's this glom in the middle that's new. But over the last 10 years, the glom in the middle has grown. I hate to use that phrase, glom, because I don't want that to describe you. You're chosen by God. You're God's people. You're not a glom. That centerpiece has grown. It's grown in large numbers in so many ways. That's because this congregation in 2007 responded to a call that God had to bring those two congregations together, but we have continued to respond to the call that God has had on all of our hearts, because many of the people sitting in this room today have no connection to Strathcona or Pineland, but you do have congregations that you have connections to before you came here. And for all kinds of reasons that you can probably cite, some good, maybe some not so good, you came here. You responded, all of us, regardless of where we came from, to that voice inside us that said, come and be a part of this congregation. And in our minds, we can say, well, I came because I have problems in my other church. I came because, well, I like the people, and that was our top 10. Number one was the people and how friendly everybody is here. But that can turn quickly. That can change. So the reasons that we may have in the front of our minds, those are good reasons in so many ways. But the truth of the matter is, God called you. God called you, and you were obedient to that call. And you responded. Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's our challenge as a congregation. That's our challenge. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We're here because God called us. We're here because we responded to that call. And we're here to work the works of God. And those are listed in many places throughout Scripture. Worship, reaching into the community, all of the things that are happening. Our Sunday school today and next week really officially getting kicked off with Michelle, but our Sunday school with Michelle being involved is a response to that. We're putting some time and money and effort behind something that we find important in that call of God. It's more than just a 10th anniversary that we're reflecting on this over the course of this year. It's our anniversary of responding to that call that God put on us, on our hearts. It's a response to the call that Cyrus had in Isaiah. It's a response to the call that we read about in Thessalonians. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that He has chosen you. You're special. And you're special as individuals, but you're more special because we are the people of God, responding to the call that God has given us. Part of the reason I share this, is because we live in a world today where everybody wants their little bit of attention. Everybody wants their rights acknowledged. Everybody wants somebody to do something special for them because they haven't had special things being done. We all here today have something very special that's been done for us. God called us. We responded to that call. God loves us. We love God and each other because of that. And when we feel discouraged, when we feel, boy, church is getting kind of, you know, or I'm upset with people, we need to remind ourselves God has called us for something very special. Each one of us and us as a congregation. Amen. Thanks be to God. The Lord made the heavens, the Lord made the earth, and all things belong to God. As Jesus has taught us, let us give to God the things that are God's own. Let us offer our tithes and offerings now to God.